Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Are you ready for God's Word?
Yes.
Now, how many of you remember your primary school motto? Schools have mottos that sort of mantras that, you know, schools use. How many remember your primary school motto? All right, can you scream what it was? All right, I can't hear what you said, but Now, mine is not from far away here. It was knowledge is light. And then when I went to secondary school, I also began to see other different school mottos. And I mean, they are many. You remember your second school motto?
Yes.
All right. Scream. Let me hear what it is. All right. Now I see why you're where you are. Better choose carefully where you send your kids, okay? Ours was Nisi Dominus, in God we trust. But there was another school motto that I remember, and I don't even know which school it is. This might be your school. And this was the school motto: the struggle continues. The struggle continues. Man, if you're from that school, God bless you. Yes, the struggle continues. And it could have been, I mean, for school. Maybe while you're at school, there's a struggle. Every time you're going to join school, the head teacher looks at you. Thank you for coming. The struggle continues. Amen. It's interesting school mottos. But, you know, in life, it's actually real. And this struggle that I want to talk about today is not the struggle to win publicly in life. God wants you to win. God wants you to succeed. He wants you to do all of that. But this is a struggle to walk the Christian life in a way that honors and pleases God. It's a struggle to win personally. We all face that struggle. And that's what I want to talk about today. And sometimes we always assume that it's only us going through that struggle. We always think everybody else looks okay. There are some you may know who you certainly know they have struggles. But there are those who are around you and you feel like, it just feels like I am the only one struggling to live this life in a way that honors God. And so that school motto, the struggle continues, is so real for you. But today, I want to give you good news that victory is possible, even in that struggle. Amen. Victory is possible. Would you stand to your feet? I want to read a portion of scripture and then get to share God's word. First Peter chapter 1 and verses 13 to 16 says this: therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. In other words, keep eternity in mind. Jesus is coming. We don't know the day or the hour, but Jesus is coming. So as obedient children, how should we respond to that? As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Not in some things you do, but in all you do. Listen, my friends. There's no such thing as selective holiness. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Because God is holy. Father, I thank you for your word. Your word is living and active. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. It reaches those deep parts of our lives. And I pray that today your word will do just that. Your word is life. Your word is light. Your word sets us free. And I pray that today the knowledge of the truth of your word will set us free and give us the hope that when it comes to living in a way that honors you, it is possible. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated, my friends. Today, I really want to talk about the Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered life, focusing on how the Holy Spirit comes in that personal struggle we have and empowers us to live in a way that pleases God, and that is to live in holiness and righteousness. Now, you don't hear so many messages around holiness or around righteousness. Because sometimes it can feel a little bit heavy and hard. Because this is the kind of subject that is so personal. It is so personal and addresses that silent struggle we all have. And sometimes we don't want to invite anybody into that space because of what they may discover about you. But I want to encourage you today. You don't have to struggle alone. Holy Spirit is our helper. He knows that struggle, and he will help us to live holy and righteous lives. And I know sometimes when we become Christians, we try to live the Christian life in our own strength. And what tends to happen is we begin to have failure after failure, to a point where we begin to think, you know what? This whole idea and subject of holiness and righteousness, I just don't understand it. I just don't want it. I feel like I will never make it. And so you live as a victim every day of your life. Every time the week starts after church and you're making your way, you're like, here I go again. What's coming that is going to cause me to fail? It's real. Now, I've met a few people who have said, man, pastor, you just don't understand me. For you, I think you're okay. There's a certain mindset that for you as a pastor, you have arrived. You don't have these struggles. It's for us. Are we the daily people? I want to read you a description of an apostle and how he tried to be real about this struggle to live in a way that pleases and honors God. This is an apostle who Jesus appeared to. This is the Apostle Paul who had a radical transformation, saw God do mighty things in his life. I mean, he wrote almost two-thirds of the New Testament. He begins to talk about this struggle. In Romans chapter 7, I want you to hear him. It's as though Paul looked at the people who are going to be in church today, those watching online, and said, let me write about your life. That's what it appears like. You'll tell me if I'm wrong. So Paul, in Romans chapter 7, says this, I do not understand what I do. Anybody ever feels like that? This is the apostle. Says, I do not understand what I do. And he begins to expound what that means. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Can you feel that tension and that struggle? I know the stuff I shouldn't be doing, they're the ones I keep on doing. I know what I should be doing, but I don't do it. It's a real struggle. So he says, and if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. Nothing wrong with God's standards. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. Paul begins to say, there's something else at work inside me, not outside of me. He would have been blaming, but he says, no, this thing is inside. There's something going on the inside of me. And he says, it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. It's quite honest. He's saying it just looks like there's nothing good inside of me. That is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. My heart is in the right place. I have the desire, but somehow I just cannot carry out the good I know I should do. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. I just keep on doing the wrong thing, yet I know what the right thing is. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, it is sin. Again, he acknowledges, the sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. I love God's law. I love God. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? But verse 25, thanks be to God. Come on! That's a good turnaround. When he starts to focus away from the struggle and starts to focus on God, everything changes. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, this victory is only possible through God. It's not through your human effort. Paul said, my human effort, every time I try, I fail. But thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law. I love God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. So Paul is saying, this struggle is really between my sinful nature and what I know God wants me to be and to do. How do I overcome my sinful nature and begin to live in a way that pleases God, a holy and righteous life. Let me tell you how. It is through the Spirit's leadership and Holy Spirit empowering you every day. Amen. That's why Jesus said, I can't leave you alone, but I'm going to send you a helper. So my friends, all of us can live holy and righteous lives. And that is through the presence and the help and the power of the Holy Spirit. He's available. And one of the things Satan will try to do is to keep you away from getting to know the Holy Spirit. Because he knows when you start to understand Holy Spirit, love him as a friend, invite him in every struggle, then your life becomes unstoppable. Becomes unstoppable. So my friends, when it comes to righteousness and holiness, it's no longer about trying harder from the outside. Rather, it is about being formed from the inside by the Holy Spirit. He begins to deal with the root cause of the failures in the struggles we have, and that is our sin nature. He begins to do a work in us that changes our thinking, redirects our desires. He begins to empower us to put to death sin in our lives and to walk in the newness of the life that Jesus has given to us. So the question you may have always had while in the struggle and while you're in that failure again is, can I ever really live a righteous and holy life? That's where you might be. But today, I just want to invite you to reframe that question and turn it around this way. How can Holy Spirit help me to live a holy and righteous life? Shift it, because when you talk of can I, you're now beginning to take ownership. You're beginning to think you can do it in your own strength. But the moment you shift and begin to recognize that God, who says be holy just as I am holy, knows that in your own strength you can't. He said, I am sending Holy Spirit to help you. So that you're not in this struggle alone. So what does Holy Spirit do? Three things that I want to suggest to you today. How Holy Spirit helps us to live righteous and holy lives. The first thing Holy Spirit does, and Paul continues to talk about this from his struggle, he then acknowledges the victory in Christ. He begins to show us how Holy Spirit actually enables us how to live a holy and righteous life. So chapter 8 in the Bible, and we're going to go to Romans chapter 8. The first thing Holy Spirit does is he frees you from the power of sin. He frees you from the power of sin. Romans chapter 8 and verses 1 to 4. This is what Paul says. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. You know, whenever we fail, Satan brings that condemning voice. There you go again. You have failed. You told a lie. You have cheated. You have stolen. Oh, you kept away some truth. You are doing it again. And the guilt and the shame and the condemnation keeps coming to the point where you're like, I cannot do this. Here's the good news. When Paul says now there's no more condemnation, how do we know that there's no more condemnation? We know that Jesus paid the price over 2,000 years ago and paid the penalty for our sin. This is what Holy Spirit does. Whenever Satan whispers in your ear, oh, you're a failure, you will never overcome. Holy Spirit reminds you, there's one who overcame. That's why Paul said, thanks be to God, because I was rescued by Jesus' death. Holy Spirit begins to tell you, yes, you may be now, but you can get up. He reminds you of God's word. A righteous person may fail 7 times, but he will always get up. He will start to speak to you and remind you, if you confess your faults, God, our Father, is faithful and just, and he will forgive you of all sin. So come on, son. Come on, daughter. Don't stay down. Don't believe you're a victim. You can make it. Remove the condemnation now. Begin to stand as a child of God and know that He forgives.
Hallelujah.
His Holy Spirit. Because the guilt is real. The shame is real. How He reminds us. But the other thing Holy Spirit does, here He says in verse 2, and because you belong to Him, by the way, this is for those who belong to Jesus. If you don't, today, we're going to invite you. Because, man, you don't need to go through this struggle alone. And for some of us, we have a mental acknowledgement of God, but we have never had a personal relationship with Him through Jesus. Here's the thing about salvation. It is total allegiance. You can't have Jesus and other things. And so if you have never surrendered your life to Jesus, at the end of the service, we'll give you a chance. This message will only make sense when you surrender to Jesus, because only those that have given their lives to Jesus can have Holy Spirit's help. If you don't know Jesus, this is what Holy Spirit does. He starts to tell you about your need for Jesus. That's what He does. He convicts the world of sin. But now I'm talking about living in a way that pleases God. So He says, and because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has done what? Freed you. Come on, everybody, say freed you. From the power of sin that leads to death. So Holy Spirit frees us from the power of sin, one way by dealing with the condemnation, but there's another way Holy Spirit frees us. And verse 3 says, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent His own Son in body. That's Jesus paying the price for us, the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. So on one end, Holy Spirit deals with the condemnation. On the other end, Holy Spirit deals with the control of the sinful nature. So that we are no longer controlled by this sinful nature. Remember, Paul struggled. He says, I want to do the right thing, but I keep doing the wrong thing. And then he says, I've discovered there's something in me, sin. You cannot overcome sin by having resolutions. The only way you can overcome the control of sin is having Holy Spirit change and transform you from the inside out. Christianity is not about behavior modification. That's not Christianity. Christianity is about internal transformation. That's what it means to be born again. Something happens on the inside and God changes you from the inside so that the things you desire, the things you start to long for, cease to be the ones controlled by our sinful nature. He does that. So Holy Spirit empowers us to live holy and righteous lives by freeing us from the power of sin. Now, the journey of salvation starts with forgiveness, okay? We receive forgiveness for our sin from God. But that is not all. The journey also kickstarts with freedom. That comes through the power of the Holy Spirit, setting us free from the control of our human nature. So Holy Spirit empowers us by freeing us from the power of sin. I love what Philippians 2:13 says. There's a great verse. It says, God is working in you. How? By His Spirit. And the way He works in you is by giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Powerful. Secondly, how does Holy Spirit help us to live righteous and holy lives? The second thing that Holy Spirit does is so powerful. So we have a journey that starts. Now I am a Christian. I have been forgiven. Holy Spirit comes, and Holy Spirit now frees me from the dominion of sin in my life. He's done a transformation in my life. I'm now justified, but I need to start living my life every day. Tomorrow I'm going home. I'm going home to my wife. I'm going home to my kids. I'm going to class. I'm going to work. I'm going to meet people every day. I'm going to face temptations. Those things are going to happen. And those moments of temptation is where the struggle really is. When I'm faced with a choice to make, every sin we commit, every failure we commit always comes with options. And Paul would say, I know the right thing to do, but I find myself doing the wrong thing. Here is the good news. And it's the second thing that Holy Spirit does. He strengthens our obedience. Because we know the right thing to do, but on our own, we can't do it. But when Holy Spirit comes, He empowers us to obey God no matter the cost. He does that. And so here's what Paul says, continuing in Romans 8 from verse 5. He says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature, their thoughts are always about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So not only is when your sinful nature controls, you're thinking about sinful things. If you're dominated by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit makes you think about things that please the Spirit. So when you let, Paul says, your sinful nature control, your mind leads to death. It leads to death. But when you let the Spirit lead you, control your mind, you know what it leads to? Life and peace. I know this is a desire many of us want to have. A life like God has planned out for us, and peace. And Holy Spirit, the moment you let Him lead you, not only will He give you thoughts that please Him, He will strengthen you to obey God. Obey God's word. To do the right thing. Verse 7, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of sin, their sinful nature, can never please God. They can never. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. Come on! When Holy Spirit is leading you in your daily life and you invite Him to be with you, and in those moments where you have to make a decision, you're struggling, say, Holy Spirit, strengthen me. I know the right thing to do. He comes through for you. Yes. Yes. He comes through for you. So today I want to challenge you. In that struggle, and some of you might be in it right now. Some of you might feel, I've blown it. I don't know if I can stand. No more condemnation. From today, when you make those moments of choice and you know there's a wrong option before you and you know the right thing to do, when you try in your own strength, you will fail. Trust Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, I want to do the right thing. Give me the strength. I've chosen it. The consequences are going to be terrible, probably, but I'm trusting you. He strengthens your obedience. Strengthens your obedience. Now, one of the battles we face in making choices is usually around the benefits or the consequences of those choices. And when it comes to everyday life, there seems to be overpromises for the wrong thing. And I discovered that. I gave my heart to Jesus as a 10-year-old boy. And then as a teenager, life began happening for me. All these options when I go to school, of what seemed to be life. Man, the people that were not Christians, they seemed to be enjoying life. And then me, who's a Christian, oh my goodness. We need to change this. There are some of you who are not proper representations of the Christian life. Okay? Because it looks like Christian life is boring, is, you know, and somehow that's what it seemed to be like. And the other guys seemed to have fun. They said, I mean, it was like that when I was at university, Friday night. The university would get wild. People are like, it's just crazy. People going out to party. And they look like they're the ones who are having life. And so the temptation to try to see that life is a little high. In my teenage days, I explored. Because I said, man, there's something I'm missing. And so those days, you know, we're not in a college very far from here. These new clubs that had come, there was one which brought big lights. They would move in the air. You would see the lights in the sky. So we'd be at school. You'd look at those lights and then go down and say, man, I wonder what's happening in there. It must be a party. And some of the other kids would escape and come back, and they would come back and start telling stories. So I escaped. I went because I said, man, let me first check if this life is. I got there. Now, from the word go, because you're supposed to enter when you're only 18. I was under 18. And so, you teenagers, put up yourself and walk like that. Just walk and find the bouncer. And you're like, yeah. And then get in. They get you in. The moment they opened the door and I entered, it was too loud. And in my head, I said, these lights have brought me here. It's too loud. People can't talk to each other. Then the others are fighting. I said, my goodness, this is what these people keep talking about. They didn't tell me that there were fights. They didn't tell me people were throwing bottles at each other. They didn't tell me it was so loud you can't hear each other. So the only way I thought that maybe the only way I will enjoy this, because I didn't want to waste the night, is by being drunk. So I went and drank, and I took the crude one. Then I came back inside. It was still loud. It was, we went back to school, long story short. I had a hangover for my first time. I woke up, didn't know where I was, because my friends took me back to school. I belched, and the smell of alcohol came. I said, this cannot be life. This cannot be life. I can't be here. I don't know what happened to me. I am belching. I feel like I poisoned my... I think Satan is good at marketing. He makes you believe this is life. And when you go, this is what happens. You seem to enjoy, but you're empty the next moment. Seem to enjoy, you're empty. You become a bunch of empty pleasers. No one wants to be honest. We are here, yeah, we are having fun, we are hanging out, but every one of you knows on the inside you're empty. You don't have to live like that anymore. Holy Spirit will strengthen your obedience. And when you start to obey God, that's when you experience true life. And not only life, peace. Come on! Peace! Shalom! You wake up with no fear. You walk with confidence. You're not afraid. You sleep like a baby. You don't sleep worried. Oh, who's going to get my phone? Who's calling? No.
Come on.
Holy Spirit will strengthen you to obey God so you can experience a life of peace. Righteousness and holiness bring peace. Finally, not only does it free us from the power of sin, Holy Spirit strengthens us to obey God so we can live righteous and holy lives. But finally, Holy Spirit produces the fruit of righteousness and holiness. So you don't need to aspire to be gentle. Holy Spirit produces gentleness through you. Here's what Paul says, my final scripture. So I say, walk by the Spirit, from Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 23. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. There's a battle. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, everybody say, led by the Spirit. You are not under the law. And then it has to talk about the acts of the flesh. The acts of the flesh are obvious. The sinful nature, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. All of that is what the sinful nature produces. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, everybody say, but. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. That there is the evidence of a life lived in holiness and righteousness. The visible fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. So, when it comes to producing fruit, here's a final thought for you. What you submit to determines the fruit you produce. If you submit to the sinful nature, you cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit. If you submit your life to Holy Spirit's leading and He's empowering you, when He frees you from sin and He begins to strengthen your obedience, and you continue to live in submission to Him daily, the evidence is going to be what I just read. My friends, a life that pleases and honors God, a life of righteousness and holiness, is possible. The question is not, can I be holy? The question is, how will you, Holy Spirit, help me to live a holy and righteous life? This kind of life is not by might, it is not by power, but is only possible by the Spirit of the living God. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.